Welcome to a special edition of the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. This evening on the panel, we got Brother Iration, original founding member of the Community Education Network. And our guest this evening is Brother Muko. We wanted, Mr. Bobby, co-host of the Counter Racist Code with Neely Fuller Jr. We wanted him to come, but I don't know, maybe something came up. And so hopefully we'll be able to have Mr. Bobby on a little bit later. But tonight we're going to reflect on Neely Fuller Jr. And Neely Fuller Jr. is a gentleman who brought to us counter-racist codes. And he's a man that focuses on logic to deliver anything that he has to say. And very impactful brother in my life. He impacted my life big time. Brother Iration introduced me to him. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to Brother Iration. Brother Muko is the featured guest. I'm going to go to Brother Iration, and maybe he could tell us, you know, what he think about Neely Fuller in general. Brother Iration?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I think Neely Fuller is one of the pioneers, man. He put in real work, and he said, hey, common sense and logic, man. And every time he speak, that's what he's talking about. But he was on the front line fighting, trying to wake people up, man. And you can't ask for no more than that. Man fought all the way to the end. What, he in 95?
96.
Hello?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. 96, yeah. I mean, man, so the brother was deep, man. I love him, man. I love Neely to the very end, man. Yes, sir.
I agree.
So, I mean, it's really about us helping each other and waking each other out, pulling each other's coattail. You know, Dr. Cambone, man, he had some good scenarios, and I just learned from all of them. I mean, it's so deep, man, and it just help awaken you. You know, it's like if you're in a forest, man, and you don't make some markers where you're going, you're going to find yourself going around in circles. But if you make you some markers, you can come back and say, hey, I've been here before. And these are your stepping stones. History tells a deep story for those that want to learn and get into it. And then those are your markers to tell you. It's your guide to let you know where we came from and what's going on today. But, you know, and it's very difficult trying to get a lot of people to wake up and be in reality about what's going on in the world around us. Man, these people ain't joking. These people are crazy as hell. And I'm just telling you, man, this is what they do. And we got to do what we have to do. And we have to be in reality about it. If we don't, look up, we will no longer be existing on this planet.
So true.
Okay, Reed, you can go ahead.
So true, so true. Yes,
go ahead. I'm good.
So, Brother Muko, you want to tell us a little bit about your thoughts about Neely Fuller and how he impacted your life, or just in general?
Well, definitely. Just like Brother Iration, you know, definitely Neely Fuller Jr. has impacted my life and such. Well, I'll say his work has impacted my life in such a way where I have a responsibility of passing down information and codification to the generation that is behind me, all of the generations that are behind me, but more importantly, his work has made me realize that my actions or my inactions, or most importantly, my inactions will directly affect the generation that I won't even get to meet. You know, I won't even get to know. And I keep that in the forefront of my mind to kind of keep me staying focused on who and what I'm actually doing this for. I always tell my peers, I could really care less about you guys. You know what I'm saying? But what I do care, I'm doing this for is your children and your children's children, which will be your grandchildren and your great great grandchildren. In return, all I would hope is that you are doing the same thing, and then that is your individual purpose, so that it could be a collective purpose. I think as long as we stay focused on the issue at hand without getting sidetracked, a lot more things will get done. So listening to Neely Fuller Jr. and listening to his suggestions over the years, following his work, following Francis Cress Welsing's work, has definitely helped me stay focused on the problem. And the problem is simply racism, white supremacy. On a whole, the system needs to be dismantled. It needs to be talked about what that looks like, not just left at the confusionary term of, things gonna get better if we just keep, we making progress. Because all progress means, just like Neely Fuller Jr. Suggested so many times, all progress means is that the job is not done. Celebrating is a big, big, big issue that the victims of racism, white supremacy has, not according to Brother Muko, but according to the evidence. We are too quick to celebrate when a job is not done. We're always, always willing to celebrate progress, which also means the job is not done. And emotions, we are so deep into our emotions, and this is, and all of these things are done to us and brought to us by way of racism, white supremacy. Sponsored by, so to speak, racism, white supremacy, especially along with the confusion of everything which keeps racism, white supremacy alive. And lastly, before I allow our brother go, victims of racism, white supremacy, really need to concentrate on their individual selves. As far as lying goes, and this does not make me feel good to say this, but white supremacists, white racist woman and man are already liars, right? This is how white supremacy operates. They lie, they confuse the victims, to the point of the victims don't know which way is up, okay? The last thing that the victims of racism need to do, need to be doing, with each other, is confusing each other even more, and lying. And lies bring on confusion. So when most of the time I see a lot of victims lying, it's because they're emotional, because that whatever was said made them get emotional, made them get mad at another victim. So I think we need to start sticking to codification when it comes to not arguing with other victims, not name calling other victims of racism, white supremacy, and being honest about the system of racism, white supremacy, and the dismantlement that's needed that has not begun yet. So I know that was a lot, and I could go on because Neely and just every day listening to Neely Fuller Jr. Brings about another idea to enhance my codified behavior. We're all still learning. I am still learning. So I think I'll land it right there and let our brother Amon Ra go. Good evening, Amon Ra.
How you
Yes,
doing?
man. So what we're
Absolutely.
doing at this present time, we're just kind of reflecting on how Neely Fuller, what we thought of Neely Fuller, but Neely Fuller would want us just to focus on the work. So I know you've seen him before, correct? And dealt with him before, Professor Ron?
When you first published his books, his book,
Okay, so
I think I got an autograph, if I'm not mistaken. But that was years ago, years ago.
that was
At
probably
Esquire.
1984 edition, right? That was the first edition. Okay, so tell us a little bit some of your thoughts on Neely Fuller, just in general.
First of all, may all the good he brought in the world last forever, may none be lost. There may be a glorious spirit in heaven and maintain a powerful presence here in the minds and the hearts of those that loved him and studied him. I think the most unique thing about Neely is trying to come up with a methodology to deal with racism. That's one of the most profound things. A lot of people talk about racism. A lot of people point and charge racism in different forms. But Neely took it upon himself to say, hey, these are some methods that you can do in way to think, in the way to act, in the way to fend off the racism where it wouldn't have such a traumatic effect on you or your children, as Mukko was talking about. And then people need to build on his work. Because a lot of people, we had a problem throughout our history here. One is that it was against the law and against white man law to teach black people to read and write. Second, when they started letting them read to write, they chose them what to read. They gave them the Bible, they gave them their history, they gave them that. And then they did a lot of acculturation, and that means getting black people to see themselves as Americans, even though, as Malcolm say, that they're not Americans, because if they was Americans, they wouldn't catch hell. But at the same time, many black people see America problems as their problems. I mean, you'd be surprised at the black people walking around saying, how they worry about inflation, they worry about the various aspects of the wars, and this is our country, we got to defend it, and you'd be surprised. And second, you'd be surprised at the people that don't know about Francis on you, because no one's teaching them, and no one's playing their tapes or recommending them to read the book. Some are doing it, Mook are probably doing it, and a few of us are conscious doing it, but sometimes we think our consciousness is the consciousness of the masses, but the masses have a whole new different perspective. And so when you talk about Neely, first you have to introduce him to the people, because you'd be thinking they know Neely Fuller, they know Francis Cress Wilson. People don't think the way we think. The conscious people think. They very seldom think about racism. They very seldom think about, other than making a choice between Taco Bell and McDonald's or what they're going to eat, and Pizza Hut and all of that, and rather than stressing over bills and worrying how they're going to help get their kids a car or something like that, that preoccupies the working brother and sister. And they're not skilled enough to even teach consciousness, because they haven't studied Malcolm, they haven't studied Garvey, they haven't studied Du Bois, they haven't studied Douglass, they haven't studied none of that in school or on their own. All you have to do is go to the library and see how many of our people are studying our history, our culture. So it's hard to explain to people that racism is a problem when they don't think they're victims of racism. I mean, they, you know, I mean, Being a professor for 34 years and the different decades, different mindsets came into the classroom. And now you got a mindset now that is telling people they've never experienced racism. Yeah, because they think racism is a white man calling them black, police shooting a black man unarmed. They think that's racism, but they don't know it's institutionally woven into the very fabric of this society. And they don't even want reparations. You have brothers saying that these white people ain't did nothing to me. Only person hurt me was another brother. That's what racism teach. As Mukul was saying, racism teach you to hate, as Malcolm said, to hate yourself from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head, and it teach you to think that way. You understand? Black on black crime and all wars between white people and white people. You understand? And they don't say white on white crime, you know? So, I mean, this is the value of Neely, is that he tried to present a message to people, not just his book, but to try to get professors, teachers, to get other people to study racism, the science of racism, the methodology of racism, the technological and various form of cyberspace and every aspect that racism reveals itself, and come up with answers of that. Like I said, most people don't study racism; they just react to it. And we got to get into studying and implementing some of the theories and consciousness that Neely then brought forth. But at the same time, we're going to need generations of people. Maybe even rappers should be rapping about Neely Fuller. You know, I mean, hip hop people should be talking about codes of racism in their raps and stuff. So we gotta reach the young generation, stimulate their minds to start studying racism. But Neely Fuller is a giant among and a very courageous brother, because he was risking his life, his livelihood, by exposing racism in the various forms that he did, and coming up with solutions of how to deal with it. So I have nothing but praise for Neely and all those, Francis, E. Franklin Frazier, and all the others that have brought up racism, and the black psychologists that even Charles Alexander and the rest of them, that are trying to deal with racism. But I think we need to build on his work, encourage classrooms and teachers and future teachers to use his books in classrooms, make tests out of them, let them write reports on it to get more people to study it and to get more people to understand who he is and why we should revere him. That's where my position is.
Right, thanks, Professor Rome. That's profound. Brother Mashinda. Brother Mashinda, just listening at the moment? Probably. So this is what we're gonna do. Brother Muko have some clips on Neely Fuller. We're gonna play some of the clip. Well, we're gonna play a clip, and then everybody's gonna respond to it if they want to. And so I'm gonna start with Brother Mook on the reflections. I mean, on this, it was his, and he could tell us why. So Brother Mashinda is driving right now, so hopefully he get to the house and be able to have some responses. So let's look at the first clip, everyone. I'm gonna pull it up. Let's go with this one. So I'm gonna let me share the screen. I need to do the uh-oh. Where's the audio? This oh share it's going on, okay. Here's the clip. And let's take a listen to some of the words of Neely Fuller, and then we'll reflect on it.
Well, if I understand that question, no, you be the master of words. You don't let any word master you. A word is just a word. Words don't even mean anything until they have a definition. That's what gives the N-word so much power. It doesn't have a definition. And if you don't believe it, you just ask the person, like I said earlier in this program. Ask the person who calls you that, what is one? Now, it's supposed to be a derogatory term, but here's where the key is to the power of that word. No dictionary tells you why it's derogatory. That's where the secret of that magic comes from. Any word that doesn't have a concise definition is extremely powerful.
Wow.
Why? Because if you use a word and nobody really can pinpoint exactly what it means and what it doesn't mean, all right? It's not just what it means. It's what it doesn't mean.
Doesn't mean, yeah.
Right. See, words have definitions, but you can use any word. You can make up a word right now and not give it a definition and go around applying it to different situations or different things or different people, and you can cause all kinds of havoc, all right, with a word that does not have a definition. Why? Because you have control of the word.
Okay, we're going to stop it right there. Stop it right there. Okay, Brother Muko. Let's get to the point of what your thoughts about that clip.
That clip is very, very important to me. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm always stressing to my peers, my fellow victims of racism, white supremacy, on how important words are and how we use them. And how important words are as far as the strength of words. I know Neely Fuller didn't go into how deep that goes, but just his introduction of being in control of the words, you being the master of words. Words get things done, and words stop things from happening. That's always been just... the simple, the first thing that always comes to my head. So when I first heard Neely Fuller Jr. say that, and when I hear the backlash that he gets from that, or when people say, oh, yeah, well, I hear what you're saying, but then go automatically just go right back to doing the uncodified thing and using their words so loosely. That is a triggering thing for me to witness my fellow victims of racism, white supremacy do over and over and over and over again. I do recognize that it is a hard thing to correct, and me correct them and upgrade my thought, speech, and action. But I think that when I hear this clip, that's what it goes into. And if I'm not mistaken, that's what he probably is segueing into. For victims of racism to understand that while the system of racism, white supremacy is in place, we should always be about upgrading our thoughts, speech, and actions until we dismantle the system of racism, white supremacy. Matter of fact, that should be the topic of every conversation until the system is dismantled, or we're just wasting time. And that's just according to the evidence.
All right. Thanks a lot. Realization?
What I have to say about words is the white supremacists are the word masters, okay? And I pay attention to words, too. And like he said, sometimes words don't mean anything, but they are word masters. These people get on television, they can lull you to sleep with all kinds of words. And for those that understand, those are just words. That's pretty much what I got to say on that, man. But Neely Fuller is right on the money, okay? Always.
All right. Professor Rob?
Yeah, appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. Yes, words, sometimes words have what you call covert definition. They don't appear that there's a definition, but the person that's saying it know what they mean, and the person that's listening know what they think it means. But at the same time, Neely Fuller is right when he says that words without a definition is leave it up to, interpretation, or just lead the person to ignorance, to ignorance to a certain degree. But one of the powers that the system has is to get you to accept their reality as yours. And they use master words. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad called it trickeration. And even in the dictionary, there are words with six and seven definitions. There are words that are spelled different ways. And that's the way in which the system exploits its racism and exploits its monopoly on your education by thinking you learning derogatory stuff about you and anti-African and black people's identity and culture. And, as they used to say, devil food cake is black, meaning, devil, demonizing black, angel food cake is white, And so you have to be able to sometimes come up with your own definition when there ain't a definition. And some black people have, they call it fighting words. Some call it just slang. And it's unfortunate that we have brought both words come from the dominant white society. There's no African country called in, and there's no Caribbean country called in. These are things that the European has put in his language to get us to hate ourselves and fight among ourselves, as well as feel bad when people call you the N-word or anything else. And so that's why it's important to study his work, to get a clear-cut understanding of the way in which racism affects you, not just physically from people doing something to you, but mentally and culturally. And so I agree with Mukul and Dr. Bobby with regards to the fact that we need a language of liberation, and we need a victorious mentality, and need to employ a language in which we know what it means and they don't know. All right, that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, let me just say a little bit. Well, when I hear Neely say that, it makes you think about what he's saying, and that's the beauty of this. You can investigate by, testing things out and seeing for yourself the reaction of people. It's a counter-racist code to ask somebody, what do you mean when you say that word? And so when they explain it and you get a dialogue with them, you can it's more effective communication. And so that's what words are for, is for communicating. And when like Professor Rob was talking about how it was used, the N-word, how it was used in a derogatory way. And the thing about that is, I even react in a way where I don't want to use the word because how it was used by the oppressor, and I don't want to give attention to that. But we have to really learn how to effectively communicate with each other. And then if you have if your words are codified, and when people ask you about what are you saying, or what's the definition, what do you mean by that, you can tell them. And so I tend to take from Neely Fuller when it comes to language or words, is that in a constructive way, that's how you should communicate. And that's my little take on it. So let's go to another clip. Let me get to one. Let me get rid of this one and pull up a new one. This is a good one, I think. Well, all of them are good. All right. Let's share the screen. Share sound. All right, here we go.
Particularly in job situations, they set black people up. One thing, many white supremacists have concluded that in most cases, or in many cases, black people, non-white people, act according to their emotions. So they know what buttons to push. They just about know when they're going to fire you and how they're going to go about doing it. Because they know when they're going to make you angry. They know how to make you angry. They know how to make you laugh. They know how to get you to relax. They know how to get you uptight. So they say, okay, well, we're going to get rid of that fellow today. So we'll have him come in, and we'll start telling him this and telling him that and whatnot. We got our own strategies and whatnot. And we have been studying him, and we know that he has a temper. So at this point, this one thing, because white supremacists always study their victims, and they know more about their victims than the victims know about themselves, all right? The white supremacists know more about me than I will ever know about myself, all right? They make it their business to do that. So they can kind of predict behavior. And in job situations, when they get ready to get rid of a non-white person, they'll say, hey, what we'll do, we'll make him mad. Because we know what will make him mad. So, about 9 o'clock today, when he does this and does this and whatnot, you go over and say to him this, 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 and this. Now that'll get him angry. And he's going to immediately blow up. He's going to start calling names and all like that. And
Your
today,
answer.
by 5 o'clock, he'll be fired.
Interesting. All right, Brother Muko.
Boy, you are in my head, brother, because I was just about to say, man, you should just play the emotional clip. That ties right into what Professor Ra was saying, and my brother Aeration. Our emotions get the best of us. Especially when this because they're connected to all of these words that have no complete meanings. I think this was the easiest one of my one of Neely Fuller's lessons that I got first while reading the 1984 edition. And the reason why is because he stresses on how problems are solved more in the 1984 edition versus the 2016, the new revised edition. And I love both editions, but he I think in the 1984 edition, to me, he's and I wouldn't say harping on, but he's making it a point for the victims of racism, white supremacy, to understand the purpose of solving problems without creating one single problem in the process. And according to the evidence, and I could be wrong, but I don't think that I am. According to the evidence, when victims of racism, white supremacy are using confusionary terms brought to them by a racist man, racist woman, those confusionary terms words, phrases are kind of time bombs for us, explosive time bombs for us to get into arguments with one another about everything that we don't know, aka believe, and everything that we do know and that we are confused about. Okay? And this comes by way of something called debates. That's one word that I don't use. This comes with discussing beliefs when, you know, how I feel about the word believe. The only thing that qualifies a belief is for you not to know it. And Neely Fuller Jr. always tells us and shows us even in his as his examples to stay away from making statements. You know, problems are solved by way of questions and answers. And to get answers when you're answering questions, you definitely have to be quiet and not be guiding your logic with your emotions. So I think that this was a clip. Neely Fuller Jr. always lays down jewels, and we could see that Brother Rashiki did not play the whole clip because these clips are lengthy. And we know how Neely Fuller Jr. gets extensively detailed, you know, just like I can, like long-winded, like I'm getting now. So, to shorten it up a little, emotions play a big part in art and victims of racism, white supremacy arguing with each other instead of countering or even dismantling white supremacy is not even being done when we're arguing with each other. And I think that that is a great point that Neely Fuller Jr. Brought up a lot in his suggestions. And I feel like we have a lot of examples and evidence to show that what he is saying is 100% correct as far as us being toxic to one another and how we shouldn't come together unless it's something like it is now to educate or to do something constructive. Other than that, we shouldn't even be around each other. I think when we exercise that no contact, no conflict, code, this counters racism, white supremacy, because as far as racism, white supremacy goes, moments like this that's happening in the community education network is not supposed to be happening as long as the system of racism, white supremacy is in place. So this is a treat, and I appreciate and hope or trust that everyone listen that will listen to the recording and watch the recording of this broadcast will it will motivate them to be present at the next broadcast so that we can get more more suggestions, more views, maybe help other victims get a little bit more overstanding or get a little get a better view of what right racism, white supremacy is and how it works and what countering racism, white supremacy looks like when we're talking about not getting emotional when we're asking questions to get answers, especially from white people and other victims of racism, white supremacy. So I think I landed there.
Okay, thank you. Brother Iration?
No, go ahead. I'm good.
All right, Professor Ra, you're on mute. You're on mute.
Appreciating what Neely was saying, and if I understand correctly, I think he was saying there's no reason for us to argue with each other because that's a part of the racism to get us arguing and fighting amongst ourselves over the languages or the communication and racist system that they have set up to get us to be divided and so they can conquer us. There's no reason for people to argue. It's best to lose the point rather than lose the person. Just concede and then try to talk to them in another way or another day when they can listen. To get upset because you're trying to prove a point or you're trying to defend off some perspective another person have or try to convert them into your way of thinking, arguing and fighting is not the way to do it because that's what the system is set up before. They have Americanized, acculturated many of our people into being agents and collaborators in the racist activities of the society. That's why you have the Clarence Thomases. That's why you have Donald and brother in Florida. That's why you have, it's big money in Uncle Tom, and it's big money in savaging and maintaining the racist system for many blacks. We've always had collaborators throughout our history, and they've always been agents of provocateurs. They infiltrated many of our organizations. And look, Garvey was turned in by a brother that was supposed to have been his right-hand man. Malcolm had a police on stage with him. I mean, we've had there's lessons to be learned, but I think the key thing that Neely was saying is that brothers and sisters, unless somebody is really trying to hurt you physically, don't get into these arguments with your spouse, with your children, and with your loved ones because they don't see things the way you see them. And don't get into arguments and frustrations and anxiety and hatred toward each other because your black neighbors or African neighbors don't see things the way you see them. Just conditions create consciousness. And we are all victims of racism in America and on this planet because they have have developed alliances to maintain white supremacy. That's what NATO is about. That's what the Atlantic Treaty is all about. That's what all those things is with European nations trading among themselves and exploiting others. But many of our people are not taught these things. And it's the same thing domestically here. I mean, we're fighting for the critical social space and we're competing with each other. And sometimes it become combative when you could just sit down and just share. The fine methodologies of getting along and fine methodologies, I think is what Neil was saying. We got fine reasons to work together rather than to be divided. That's why I got it.
All right, thank you. Now, when he was talking right then, he said that the white man pushes buttons for us to react to it. And I could take that many different ways, or well, I could go in different directions with the basis of what he was saying. And when I look at that, I come up with self-evaluation. If you're being studied, you should be studying yourself and in the way you do things. And I'm gonna touch on this when I come out with a publication that I've been writing for a while. And so if you recognize that almost every moment is a learning situation, then you would tend to look at your behavior and not really go, because if you do something, there's always a result. And when you look at the result of your behavior or your actions, the learning can come in. There's learning. And so if somebody's able to get you upset and you think about it, like, why am I so upset? And why am I so emotional? You go back and reflect on what actually happened and start getting the lessons from the results of the action. And so when people start getting to the point where they're studying themselves and getting that type of focus, then you're able to grow and change. And so I'm gonna get deeper into that self-reflection and self-evaluation when I come out with the publication. So let's move on. Brother Machinda is still not available, so let's go to another clip. Let me pull up another clip. Let's go to this one right here. Pull it up. All right, let's take a listen.
Listen.
Social statement is described in the 2016 version, the updated version of the text.
He said showcasing. The first word was showcasing.
Textbook is on page 28, 29, etc. But it starts on page 28 of the basic compensatory counter-racist code book, 2016 edition, which is the latest edition. And showcasing, are you talking about the recent royal wedding?
Yes.
Okay, that's the case of it, according to the code. They say that the lady is part black, you know, or biracial, which according to counter-racist science, there's no such thing as biracial. You're either a member of a race or you're not. You know, there's no such thing as two races. I mean, you're either a racist or you're not. The only purpose for being a member of any race is to practice racism. And the only reason for being, for practicing racism is to mistreat somebody based on color. That absolutely serves no other purpose. You can be a member of a tribe. You can be a member of a fraternity. You can be a member of a nation or a sorority or a committee. But if you're a member of a race, that's an invention of the white supremacists, presumably. They're usual suspects. And the only purpose for being a member of a race is to practice racism. So what is racism? It's mistreating people based on color. That's all it's good for. Not good for nothing else. I mean, you know, why join a race unless you can explain why you're joining a race or inventing a race? I'm going to invent a new race of people. In order to do what? Why can't you just do whatever you're going to do that needs doing? If you need to produce a product, just go ahead and produce the product. Why are you inventing a race of people in order to do what? That's the question. So this racial showcasing is something that the white supremacists do. And what does that mean? It means they take a few non-white people, people that they have classified as non-white, and they sprinkle them out among the populations of the world. And they give that few, sometimes it's money, billions of dollars, and or they will give them some type of fancy title. And then they will showcase, say, out of a population, say, of 40 million black people, for instance, they will take maybe 5,000 people. I mean, if you just line them up, that's quite a few people, all right, and dump $1 billion on each one of them. 5,000 black people, and each one of them gets $1 billion. Now, if you put that in a magazine and put all their pictures in there and whatnot, that'll be a pretty thick magazine. If you just turn the pages of all of these billionaires, each one of them has $30 billion, all right? 5,000. You say, oh, that's black progress. Look, 5,000 black people, each one of them, have $30 billion. Man, we have overcome. There are no more problems. But see, you're not counting all of the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of black people out here who don't have a biscuit to eat. All right? So that.
All right. Brother Muko? Brother Muko, do you hear me?
Yeah, my bad. I lost where my meat was at. this is a very, very important topic that Neely is talking and talking about. And I would always feel so in the beginning, and I think this is maybe around the time when you first maybe started hearing me, Rashiki, I started changing the way I started asking my questions to Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And I started asking him questions, unhonest questions, and all that means is questions that I already knew the answer to, but questions that I knew that my care unit had problems understanding, and the way that I was explaining wasn't as clear and detailed as Neely Fuller Jr.'s. So this topic specifically about racism and being part of a race or being classified as a race, race classification. At this point in time, my point in understanding was that race classification was the crime. And I was saying that for a while. And I wanted to give time to give a, well, not a shout out, but to kind of give notice to a platform that I used to help me understand better what I thought I had a crystal clear understanding of, and that is exactly the topic that Neely Fuller Jr. is talking about and tackling now, about claiming a classification that the white supremacist has made for victims of racism, white supremacy, and why it is important to be honest, stop lying. Not to belittle yourself or anyone that looks like you, but so that you can better navigate a better situation, so to speak. And so race classification is the way that white supremacy brings the harms on us in every area of people activity. In other words, racism, white supremacy issues harm by way of race classification. And all that is saying is exactly what Neely Fuller Jr. said. But to me, it is connecting the white supremacists, exactly like Neely Fuller said, to their action. That action of what, Brother Muko? That action of even creating a race classification. We did not create a race classification. I know I was born in 1974. My mother or my father did not tell me when I was born or when I could start talking. It never came out of their mouths, you're part of a race. You know, my dad talked about my bloodline. He talked about his dad, his dad's dad, you know, and my mother the same, but never no race. So that was always one thing that always stood out to me when Neely Fuller Jr. made this point. And this is also a point that we cannot be emotional about. We weren't kings and queens. We weren't royalty. We are victims of racism, white supremacy. I think all of us in this space were born and this white supremacist paradigm. So with that being said, this is one of those topics that the victims of racism, white supremacy, should definitely take a visit to counterracism.com. Look at that platform. That is a platform held by a brother that is actually personally knew Neely Fuller. And just like Professor Amon-Ra was blessed with a chance to see Neely Fuller Jr., Francis Cress Welsing, talk to them, touch them. But this individual that fathered this platform, counterracism.com, and that's counter-racism.com. This brother, Mr. Edwards, definitely was a personal friend of Neely Fuller Jr. and Francis Cress Welsing. And hopefully, in the future soon, we'll have him on this platform to discuss his work and all. But yeah, this is something that I think all of white supremacy does a good job of tricking the victims of racism, white supremacy, into arguments, confusionary conversations, delusional conversations. When you're talking about I'm an African, I'm an American, I'm a Chinese, I'm a Jamaican, because we never ask ourselves or each other, well, what does that really mean? Other than you were born on a piece of land that a white supremacist labeled the name that it is. Even the boundaries that, or the imaginary boundaries that Neely Fuller Jr. is going to talk about in one of these clips that Rashiki plays, if we get to it tonight, but definitely in the future, about the imaginary lines, these imaginary towns, countries, and states and stuff. So it's definitely something that needs to be peeled back layer by layer, and this is a layer that is going to be tough to peel back without victims getting emotional. And rightly so. I understand why. You know, you're talking about your ancestors. You know, when especially when you get into things and information that was passed down. So I get it. But you know, we're in a system of white supremacy, and all of our culture at this time should be countering and dismantling a system of racism, white supremacy, and putting in place a system of justice that guarantees that no one is ever harmed and guarantees that whoever needs help gets the most constructive help, non-fail. And I'll land there.
Okay, thank you, Brother Iration.
Yes. Okay. He made mention of race, and like I stated earlier, the word masters are masters of deception. And words, to me, the words that they use are some of the biggest form of deception on planet Earth. Okay, what they'll do, they'll tell you the truth and attach a lie to it. They'll give you poor truth, like he just got through saying, okay, we got 5,000 people that have billions of dollars, but they don't mention the millions of people that don't have anything. So when a lot of people are blinded by these things and they don't know what to do with them, and I have to say, I'm glad we have the CEN, and we need other institutions to kind of to work wake our people up. You know, I wish we could get more churches and more institutions that would be constructive in waking the people up. I mean, I can watch a news clip and right off the bat, I say, look at that. That ain't nothing but words. But that's because I'm conscious and I did reading. I listened to history. I had to go and learn history and I had to listen to a lot of scholars, and Neely Fuller was one of them. And I didn't have any problem putting the time in. So that can wake you up. It's like building a house. They give you some type of foundation. But the churches and the schools that we go to, and I don't mean it in a derogatory nature, our people are not getting the information that we need to help overcome this. Hey, one of the biggest problem with a problem is if you don't know you have a problem, that's the problem itself. Knowing that you have a problem is part of the solution to solving it. So, like I said, these people give you half truth and words, and I mean, man, the words are coming all the time with deception. Okay, that's pretty much what I have to say on that. Okay.
All right, thank you. Professor Ra.
Yeah, appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. I got a lot out of what he was saying because it really reflects how many of our people think that, they don't see themselves as victims of racism and that they use individual achievements and sometimes, group achievements as a method of saying you're making progress and that there ain't no racism. But at the same time, when you really study, you see more victims of racism than those that are thriving in the system, that the system does that as a part of their trickeration to make you think, oh, well, you got a black president, you got black senators and congress people. Leaving out their way of thinking that they're part of the Democratic Party, Republican Party, which controls them and tells them how to think and how to act for the most part. And those that don't act that way, like Adam Clayton Powell and Congressman Diggs, and they criminalize them and get them out of office. When they're for the people and trying to educate the people and trying to support the people and that, capitalism, sexism and capitalism is enfolded into racism. While the European make sure that they have the money and the militarism to impose their definition of race, even though most people just see themselves as human beings. Just trying to live and trying to do the best they can. But they are the ones that call you the set up the categories of race. And that's what as a part of racism to divide the people based upon race. And I think Neely Fuller points that out very well in his narratives. And at the same time, again, it's a struggle to organize black people around issues of racism because they used to call us black militants in the 60s and if we spoke out and they called us guerrillas if you was in Africa fighting and anti-social they demonize them and then they make them examples by the way they kill them and burn them up like they did Sen Q and the MOVE organization bombed them and what they did to Tulsa with Black Progress, they burned them down and things of this nature. So it's a unique aspect of what Neely was saying, but you have to study Neely. Yeah, you have to study to get all his points because he makes some deep things and you have to sort of like study his words, study what he means, and listen to it over and over again before you get it, because it's foreign to many black, many people in America, especially African American. It's foreign. They listen to white people watch TV, and they think it's the program they're watching, which is partly that's to get you to watch the TV, but it's the advertisement that really manipulates you. And you get more advertisement than you get pictures in many ways. And they pay big money for advertising. And that's mass media. And so Neely is on point with regards to pointing out these things. But again, without family institutions educating their children and without teachers teaching sacred knowledge and sacred consciousness, like that's necessary to counter the racism. And I think Neely points that out. And I agree with him wholeheartedly with regards to the system as far as its ability to manipulate our thinking and our daily activities and take over our definition of our identity. You understand? I mean, that's very important to be able to define something and get someone else to accept it as their reality is a powerful position. And as a professor for 34 years, I've seen so much of that. The definition of beauty, his many African sisters, African American sisters trying to look white, trying to dress white, wanting to be like white people, and brothers and sisters marrying the enemy and things of this nature. You'd be surprised at the psychological warfare that goes into racism to get you to see the world in their terms. And in their terms, they're the victims. Could you imagine that? White folks going around thinking they're victims of racism when they're the ones that benefit from it and perpetrate it throughout history. That's what I got from it.
All right, thanks. So look, we're gonna close here. So I want to let Brother Muko get last words in, and anybody else who may want to get last words in. And we're gonna continue this. Brother Muko, I think we should continue this on another show, because there's a lot of
Okay.
information to unpack. And
Okay.
talk about. I mean, it's just so many things that we could talk about. So,
Okay.
who we got? We got somebody coming in. But go ahead, Brother
Yeah, we
Muko.
got.
Who is this?
Yeah, we had a few. I'm sorry, I had a few people coming in. As far as my sister from K Union in Jersey, but probably my
Okay,
brother
well,
too. Yeah.
let's do one more clip. And then we'll see. We'll go to her first. This is Larisha.
Yeah,
Laricia.
that's Miss Larisha Barnes. She was a candidate running for governor in Jersey that I support. She's part of the Redemption Party. Very, very, very educated sister. I'm proud to know her. She's a book author. She's written a book. Wow. How has it escaped me? She's written a book. I'll let her, we'll after we play the clip, we'll let her introduce herself and everything.
Let me know. Let me let her know what's going on. Miss Larisha
Okay.
Bond, can you unmute, please?
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Okay. Would you like to respond to a audio clip by Neely Fuller?
Yes, please.
Okay. So we'll do that, and then we'll go around one more time, and then we're gonna close. So let's grab a clip here. Now I'm just going to pick this one. All right. Share the screen.
Something you run into every now and then. White supremacy is not something you run into every now and then. Racism is not something that you encounter every now and then on a job. The whole job is racist. But I'm saying a person will say, I ran into some racists on the job the other day. I think there's some racism going on in that place where I work. Racism is the job. The whole thing is racist because the whole world is racist. There's nothing on this planet that's going on that is not racist. By racist, I mean what? That is not being orchestrated either directly or indirectly by those white people. Here again, I want to emphasize, not all white people. I never said that, but it's being conducted by those white people who have perfected the institution of white supremacy. That white supremacy is not something.
Okay. All right. Ms. Larisha Bonds, you want to respond to that clip?
I just want to. I was just saying, preach, preach, because he understands how white supremacy has to do with everything. It doesn't happen to us by accident. It's not an isolated incident. It's not a, oh, they were having a bad day, or they're untrained, or they don't know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing to us. They know why they're doing to us, and they know that they're going to get away with it, or they assume they're going to get away with it, because that's the system that was built. I was a probation officer in the New Jersey judiciary for 9 years. And as soon as I got there, immediately I saw the white supremacy at play. And because I had knowledge of self, and I not only knew who I was, but I knew who they were, I was able to call out their white supremacy step by step by step. And they didn't like the fact that they were doing whatever they were doing to me, and I was holding them accountable, not because I was better than them or I was smarter than them. I did it because it was the right thing to do, but it all had to do and go back to white supremacy. And what I don't think people understand, they give the excuse as an isolated incident or this person need training. They don't need to be trained. They know exactly what they're doing. And they're not just discriminating against us in the workplace or violating policies or this DEI. No, they are literally breaking the law against us. And they're calling it another name, so they're not being held accountable for the crimes that they're committed against us. They are consistently violating us in the workplace, and they're giving excuses for why they're doing what they're doing to us. I understand what he was saying, and I agree to it wholeheartedly, because I was able to file a lawsuit against the New Jersey judiciary in federal court with no attorney because of their treatment of me. And I documented everything to a point where I have them not only on the record for discrimination, retaliation and harassment in the workplace as an African American. And this is the same county that Asana Shakur has a warrant out for her arrest. She has a warrant out for her arrest from 1979 in Middlesex County, New Jersey. Middlesex County, New Jersey right now has a federal lawsuit. I have a federal lawsuit against them for discrimination and a state lawsuit along with two other Black women for their treatment of Black women. And I wrote in my lawsuit, and I was very specific, and I said, we are treated this way because the state of New Jersey is mad that Asana Shakur got away. They didn't forget who white supremacy is and what their job is and how they treat us. They assumed that I would go along with it. So I understand everything he said in that. But not only do I have them for the discrimination, the harassment, and retaliation in Middlesex County, I also have them for the money laundering, the fraud, the public corruption, the official misconduct, and I have them on the hook for white collar crimes that they have been committing against us, and how they use the judicial branch of government to money launder, to commit fraud against us as workers, not even the people who are accused of the crimes. But I understand it, and I was able in my lawsuit to document how the judicial branch of government, not just the police, targets Black people systematically for the purposes of money laundering, fraud, witness intimidation, official misconduct. So I understand everything. Your mic is muted.
Oh, thanks for coming. I appreciate that. And we would love for you to come back. So, Brother Muko, we're going to make this your last response, and we're going to take our pause after you and Professor Ra, Brother Iration, Brother Mashinda probably just listening. All right, Brother Muko, you on? Okay, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely appreciate Larisha's deposit. She's definitely valuable on my care unit in Jersey, along with the other members as well. Just as valuable as my care unit in Compton. So thank you, Arisha, for joining us, blessing us with your presence, and meeting the care unit in Compton. Neely Fuller Jr. definitely graced the understanding and he had a talent of making it very, very simple. I call it, or I kind of transformed it and making it my own, kind of revising it to making it my own, and saying, like, make it make sense in less than 3 minutes. Everything is simple, but not so simple that it's not so complicated that it cannot be explained. The word guide is another tool, and I know we'll get into it on the next segment of reflecting on Neely Fuller Jr.'s work. But the word guide is a thing that I think every victim of racism, white supremacy, should practice having their own. Extending, and just like Armin Ra said, building on the foundation and making Neely Fuller Jr.'s work, along with Francis and Amos and everybody else's work, actually the foundation, but building on your code. This is the only way that we're going to dismantle the system of racism, white supremacy, and put in place a system of justice with those two guarantees. We are the ones that have to do this, and we are the generation that is equipped to fight this fight. No other generation is equipped to dismantle racism, white supremacy, but ours. So, with that being said, thank you for letting me speak, and thank you for this program, Rashiki, and to the panel. Thank everybody for their VGQs. Very, 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 very insightful. CEN definitely is the education network. So I'll land there. Thanks, Rashiki.
Thank you, Brother Muko. Professor Ra?
Yeah, I appreciate what they said about understanding curriculum. I just want to compliment Sister LaRaysia for her fight, for her spirit, and for her just tenaciousness in pursuing justice for herself and others with regards to her lawsuits and with regards to her consciousness. It's beautiful to see it, Sister. And I remember when Asada first was being pursued. We used to have signs, Masada is welcome here in our homes, and things of this nature. And she's in Cuba, and Brother Jabal is in Cuba. He sees her all the time out there. He's been living there close to 30 years. And it's just a beautiful thing. And that's one of the reasons that these devils won't take the blockade off. They want them to give Sada back as part of their policy to stop the blockade at Cuba and things of this nature. So I'm just glad that LaRaysia raised Sada Shakur's name, because many young people don't know her story and don't know how they walked her out of the prison and got her out of the country. And I just I have nothing but praise for Sister LaRaysia. Second, she's an example of what we all should do: continue the struggle, continue to fight, and continue to read and study the information that that Neely Fuller and Dr. Francis Christopher Wilson have put out there, as well as Amos Wilson, Hakeem Mahadibuti. And the struggle continues. We've been fighting racism since we've had close encounters with the white people of the third kind, when we actually met. And as they came out of the Caucasoid Mountains as albinos and mutated into their so-called white supremacy mentality and practice. So it's a beautiful thing to see LaRaysia maintaining the fight in New Jersey, and we thank Brother Muko for bringing her on. And just a good program tonight, because it's an example that some of us are still continuing to study, to educate, and fight on all fronts. Even though the judicial system is racist, you got to fight to expose the judicial system, even if so you win no matter what, you know, in one way or the other. If you win the lawsuit, it's a victory over them. If you win the if you don't do anything but expose it through your motions and through your lawsuits, it helps people get a better understanding of the seriousness of it. That's what I had to say.
Thanks a lot, Professor Rob. Brother Iration?
I'd just like to thank all the guests and all the speakers. I think everybody was fantastic. Again, learning, learning, learning. And I think it was a great show, man. I think it was a great show. So let's continue on with the struggle and the fight, man, and see if we can wake up more people and continue in the right direction.
That's right. Still learning. Neither for the junior. Still learning. Appreciate it.
Sure.
I just want to thank everybody for continuing to show up on the flat platform. It is our platform to do what we wish to do. And we, all of us here, would like to see a better situation. So I appreciate everybody, and we will keep doing it. And LaRisha Bonds, I hope you come back. And also, if you're interested in being a guest, you can check with Brother Muko, and he will connect us. Appreciate you coming this evening. And to everybody, keep it going. Keep it going. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Let's continue. Later on, we're going to take our pause.